face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Again, another quick three. He got it. Four straight for Marcus Smart after he missed 20 in a row, and the Celtics lead by 17.
Heat check on top of heat check.
I mean, nothing in this world beats the Marcus Smart freeze check.
What's up, Zoe?
Hey!
Wow, those headlines for Wallach? I mean, there's talking over headlines, and then there's that.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
See you, Wallach. Happy Valentine's Day, toots.
I mean, just a level of disrespect not seen in a very long time. Maybe ever in this particular
yeah,
studio.
Yeah, Wallach. What's up, you big sex machine?
And by the way, happy Valentine's Day. I participated in the noise, so just as guilty as anybody else.
Yeah, Wallach.
Happy Valentine's Day, Zo. I love you, man.
So sexy.
I love you.
You look sexy with that tight thing on, zipped up. How'd you guys do last night? We'll get to that at some point.
Oh, will we?
Yeah.
Will we? We had a great night.
The lighter
we had a great date. Great date night.
I had a great night altogether. It was fantastic. A little Celtics to start and a little
I hope they threw you
Jim
out
Blossoms to finish.
Hardy went to the Garden last night and to the Paradise.
I wasn't messing around last
Jack of all
night.
Trades.
He was all over town.
Good for him.
All over
Good
it.
Good for you.
Celtics win last night. 118-110, your final score.
Did you hear that, Keith? After
what?
Missing 20 in a row. Marcus Smart, after missing 23s in a row, he hits four straight. He had to slide that in, didn't he, Grandy? I'm glad he did.
That's why Grandy gives you the full picture, the full context.
I started tweeting at halftime.
Oh, four in a row. Whoopty freaking do.
Well, and somebody like explained to me, because I was in transit when Jim texted all of us, like, Marcus Smart, unconscious.
Yeah, it was
like,
a facetious tone. It was joking.
Well, he hit four in a row.
Yeah.
And okay. That's not unconscious.
Well, for Marcus Smart it is, but I was there
tell
for...
Tell me that wasn't sent in sort of a mocking way because he had hit the four in a row.
Never, when Jim's in rooting phase, never sent...
No.
No, never.
I took it. I laughed at it. I thought it was good.
Because he had missed 20 in a row.
Yeah, and then he hits four, and it's like, okay. Oh, he's unconscious.
It's like Belichick taking out the pencil, and he's writing stuff down. I was like, for Brad Stevens, I got out the Twitter machine. I'm like, okay, halftime adjustments. Marcus, second half, you are not going to shoot.
There is a thing with our text chain that no matter what you put in there, Zoe will believe it.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
I am as black and white a text reader.
He takes it as literally as possible.
That's why I try to. I hate texting. I hate emails because you never know the tonality of it. That's why you always get somebody and you talk to them.
I mean, all you do is text. All you do is text.
I text, yeah.
Yeah.
But I usually text joking.
You could be a real jerk at times in there, too. Oh. There are days where the rest of us have to shut it off.
Two more years, Tom.
We'll just shut it down for the night.
Don't look. We'll get him going again.
Hardy's gotten to the point where he announces it that he's leaving.
Yeah.
Okay, I've had enough.
Leaving the text
chain. Hardy gets so angry. Hardy can't take a joke.
You're such a dick.
Can't take a joke. Everybody's
no, it's
joking.
Not that you joke. It's just you talk trash about everybody all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of trash talk in there.
All you do is talk smack, just talking ass about everybody all the time. Not one thing. I rule. Everybody else sucks. That sucks. You suck.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell tone with text, but with Zoe, it's not hard to tell tone.
No.
You can always predict it properly every time.
A lot of trash talked in there.
Well,
a lot of trash.
Call like I see it. When have I not? It's easy.
New story out today.
Which way are you going?
Celtic story.
Celtic story. There's something new every day. This is the best and worst part of the NBA. It is. It's the worst part because we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving again, and he hasn't played in two games.
He's got an Alex Caruso.
The Celtics have won two straight, and he hasn't played. We're getting to that. That's not what I'm going to talk to you about right now. The Devaney story at sportingnews.com. Sean Devaney writes a story today that starts with this. Everybody's mad.
That's the lead. It's like our text string.
Period. Paragraph. There it is. Boston dash everybody's mad. Period. Paragraph. He writes, if there was a theme to emerge from Thursday's trade deadline and the tense, tumultuous week that preceded it, it was that. Anger. Anger everywhere. One transaction in New York and a failed transaction in Los Angeles was enough to set free howling harpies from Pandora's box of the NBA, and teams from coast to coast will now have to figure out how to squeeze their ghosts back into their respective bottles. Some writing there. So the part that's pertinent to the Celtics were annoyed by the story recently of Kyrie Irving having eyes for New York. Not because of Irving. They're not mad at Kyrie Irving because of that. But because they felt the story was planted by an agent, Rich Paul, in order to scare the Pelicans into thinking that Boston would back off making a trade offer for Anthony Davis in July if Irving left. Do you know who Rich Paul represents? He represents Anthony Davis.
Oh.
He also represents LeBron James.
Oh.
Does he? I thought James represented himself. I thought he was past this. Like, to what? He doesn't even need an agent.
LeBron basically owns the company. I know it's illegal to own the company, but he basically owns the Rich Paul company. Yeah.
Yes. So one source told Sporting News and Sean Devaney, quote, it was cheap and underhanded. Do you know what I would call it? Brilliant. What a great move. From LeBron's perspective, that is cunning. That is a great move on his part. So they believe that the story was planted that Kyrie was looking to go to New York in order to scare the Pelicans into thinking that the Celtics wouldn't be there come July to make a deal and would then sort of force their hand to making a deal with the Lakers to send Anthony Davis there right now, which means Anthony Davis would go to a team that he wants to go to in the Lakers.
Yeah, he's shoehorned it.
He'd get to play with a guy in LeBron who he probably wants to play with. And on the other hand, you get a better deal because you're getting a better deal if you're doing it in season. We talked about that last week. And they kick Boston out of the conversation because they're planting rumors that Kyrie is going to bolt. So if this is legitimate, it's a top Celtics source from the front office. This gives you some insight that they actually do believe Kyrie will stay. Mm-hmm. And that they believe the interest in the New York Knicks is overstated by some when it comes to Kyrie Irving possibly departing. Although there was still that weird gathering with Kyrie with the New York media when he was promoting his movie. That is still there. That's real. That's a guy in his own words. But how about that for a move?
Mm.
Oh, you know what? I think Kyrie's leaving over there in Boston. Put that story out there. Kyrie is talking about going to the Knicks, and LeBron James is single-handedly trying to disrupt things. Come on. I know it's Rich Paul. I know that's the agent. But LeBron is trying to get his guy to L.A. and make sure he doesn't go to Boston. And if listen to this. This is how I think of it, too. If he could make that happen, if they were to acquire Anthony Davis at the deadline last week, could they then also make the pitch for Kyrie to go to L.A.? Is that part of LeBron's plan, too?
He could.
Hey, we've got Anthony Davis. I'm here. Kyrie, why don't you come here, too? Is that all part of the pitch?
Well, yeah, could be.
And let me ask another question. What the hell are all these guys going to be talking about at the All-Star game this weekend? What is going to be going on there?
They almost pulled it off.
They're all in the same locker room.
Yeah.
LeBron, Kyrie, Durant, Anthony Davis, all in the same locker room.
Kyrie's coaching the rookie team.
It's called Team Tamper. Team Tamper. That's what they should put right on the jersey. What the hell will the conversation be with these guys in that room this weekend? Oh, you know, Jim wants to pay thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars for a draft day experience if he hits the lottery. He's going to pay the Patriots to let him
sit
in the war room.
Sit next to Ernie Adams.
Right, sit next to Ernie, see how it's all done on draft day. Mm. How much would you pay to be the fly on the wall this weekend at the NBA All-Star game to sit in on a conversation with you and those four guys?
You don't have to. It's all going to come out.
Oh, my God.
We're going to find out.
It's a good point. But how great would it be to experience it there in real time and hear what's actually said? The unfiltered version of that conversation. What are these guys going to be talking about?
What do the great players that built this league think of this and where this thing's heading? Like, you know, Bird, Magic, you know, Jordan, you know, Kareem. The way teams were built back in the day.
I don't know.
You won championships.
It's weird because guys like Bird and Magic were players, and they'd probably be all about players, but then they went into roles where they were in management.
I know.
So I don't know. I have no idea how they would feel about it. I don't know. But, oh, boy.
I don't like it. I mean, I don't
what
like
drama
it.
Now?
So Magic loves it.
Yeah,
because
sure.
His guy LeBron's orchestrating the whole thing.
Right, right. But Magic didn't like it 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah. So here we go.
Shake his Magic 8-ball.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, because I heard you address it today, and I thought it's really interesting because I can feel that sentiment already that if Kyrie plays in the All-Star game Sunday after sitting out these last few games, that people are going to start to twist it like it's not a good look. But you're actually in favor of it. It's a good thing, right, if he plays on Sunday.
Yeah, I haven't even really thought about it until we were talking about it today on the radio, and I just thought if he's cleared to play, why wouldn't he be moving up and down the court? Yeah. The NBA rules, we can't practice. We can't be with them on the court for this week. So, that, you know, ultimately, guys are going to have to set that stuff up on their own. And, you know, if he's cleared to play, especially, you know, if he has to push it and he's 90%, no, he shouldn't play. But if he's good to go and he's cleared to play and he would have played on Friday or Saturday anyways, then I don't have a problem with it, and I certainly won't. And I see value and benefit in it.
Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't he just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind?
Well, the good news is that Kyrie's going to have a physical therapist there for him in Charlotte for when he goes, and a trainer.
Oh, his personal trainer. His own.
Celtics physical therapist Brian Dolan and Irving's personal trainer Robin Pound.
Sorry.
No, no, get it out.
That changed my name.
Okay, Brian Dolan, Robin Pound. Well, there it is. There it is. Now he's just letting it out. Now he's going full belly laugh. They will continue to guard the rehab program from the strained right knee he suffered. That is Kyrie Irving Saturday in the Clippers. This written in Steve Bolpet's story. Also, Danny Ainge told Tutcher and Rich this. So that, I guess, is the good news.
I mean, there's an awareness and a plan, right? And I heard Danny's whole interview with TNR. And, like, yeah, I mean, he's got family there. He has to deal with all the other festivities, which is required of him.
What a burden. Like, what a burden.
I know. Oh, my God, all the parties, and his family's there, and he's got business interests there. Like, there's about a list of 11 things Danny went off on that Kyrie has to do down in Charlotte. And he said he's got to find a gym with his trainer and his personal assistant and all that. And, you know, they know him better than anybody, and if he can go, then he goes.
I would say go there. Do all of those things, and then come Sunday, you put on one of those very expensive pair of jeans you own, and a dress shirt, blazer, and sit right there on the bench with your guys.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
See, but I think what we miss, though, is everybody thinks get on a treadmill, or get on a Stairmaster, or bike machine, whatever. And you can never simulate what a game and having that type of legs. And there, I guess there's a process with them. Because Danny said, well, he was close to playing last night.
So he just played this week. Let's not act like he's been out for three months.
So wait a minute. So if he
like,
plays.
Like, oh, he's going to get his
so legs gonna
back.
So there's going to be this epiphany from today until Sunday that makes him 100% to play in the game. Like they said, he can't play unless he's 100%.
Couldn't play last night.
Well, he's almost 100,
on
but
Wednesday.
He didn't have the lead up getting into it to where he gets the legs back. Where did you lose your legs since Saturday?
And that kind of gets...
He played just this last weekend.
They're preparing.
He kind of gets lost in that period of time.
They are preparing as an organization for him to play on Sunday and get ready for it. Okay? Right. It is that simple. They're all trying to answer it the right way.
But the idea that you have to somehow ramp up...
Smart.
To playing again next week by doing some, you know, basketball
activities.
Because you
took a week off.
Because you took 2 days off, back-to-backs. Two games off and back-to-backs. I'm not all that blown away by the notion that you got to do it a certain way. It hasn't been that much time. Now, I will say this, in terms of a light workout, can you think of a better place to get a light workout than playing a few minutes in an all-star game? Because that's exactly what that is.
Right.
You don't have to play any defense.
Yeah.
You don't have to hustle. Just going out there and shooting, dribbling a little bit.
Danny talked about that. To normally get guys ready, we bring the D-League in, D-League guys, and you have a scrimmage against them, and that's how we get them ready to play. He goes, all-star games are way less of an exertion than what they're going to get out of going up against a D-League player in a game.
Good take here from A'Sherrod Blakely, NBCSportsBoston.com. Irving is a star in the league, and there's nothing he can do during Sunday's All-Star game that will change that reality as to who he is and where he stands in the pantheon of elite NBA players. But there are questions still about his leadership, which is very much a work in progress. That, much like the Celtics play, has had its peaks and valleys this season. In the end, as Irving has reminded us often, he's going to do what's in the best interest of him and his family. That's the right thing to do, and I totally support that position, A'Sherrod Blakely writes. But in the NBA, you have a basketball family, too. And his basketball family, for now, is the Boston Celtics. So as we embark upon the All-Star break and this weekend's All-Star game, Irving needs to think long and hard about doing the right thing for his family, his basketball family, so that they can be best positioned to prosper when the games matter most, the playoffs. With him healthy and engaged, leading the charge. Far more eloquent take than anything I've had to say over the last few days. But I would just say I completely agree with him. Completely agree with that. Think about how your teammates are going to perceive that since you haven't played this week, and then you all of a sudden you show up in the All-Star game playing alongside Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
That's the All-Star game, and they hold that game with such high regard as opposed to any other league. Oh, that's cool, man. He's in the All-Star game. Look at him out there running around. He's ours. Yeah. Hobnobbing with the big guys.
Does him playing in the All-Star game have the potential to help the Celtics in any way? Serious question.
Help them, me retain him or
is
win?
Is Anthony Davis any more likely to come to Boston?
No.
And excuse me, get traded to Boston and want to stay here because he played with Kyrie in the All-Star game this year?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Is there the potential for harm to the Celtics' current off-the-court matters? With Kyrie playing in the game.
Yeah, if the young kids are childish and they can't handle it, absolutely.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
And you know, that might be true, Zoe. Right?
Yeah,
what, your kids can't handle it?
Yeah.
Get over it type of thing? That might be true. But when you're just dealing in the vacuum of what will happen, what could happen.
I mean, we're to the point
that's on the list.
We're to the point now where we're critiquing who's getting up and off the bench when dunks are made and who's happy for who. That's what it's getting to with the Celtic team.
Did you see that
floating around?
Yeah. Did you see that? That was a great find by that listener, Felger Maz, who emailed that in.
There's one where Jaylen Brown got up, just had his arms crossed, and kind of was there, and everybody else is just snapping out. And that one is different than the one of him sitting
down.
That's
the big dunk. I mean,
but really, that's what we're going to do here.
Tatum a couple of nights ago, and everybody on the bench is up and excited, and they're feeling it.
See how Horford run down
engaged.
A court?
Yep. They're engaged,
nuts.
And they're celebrating each other's success, except for Jaylen Brown at the end of the bench. Just sitting there.
Well, I got up. He
with
got
a blank
up.
Stare.
I mean, it's hard. It's hard to rip a guy for that. Because if you see that night in, night out.
Hasn't Jaylen Brown somehow been like tied back to all these issues, though, at some point?
Yeah.
Isn't he like the one
Seems
common
like
denominator in all these things?
Seems like he's the problem.
He
How is that different from Brady and Garoppolo, though?
What's that?
That whole the team competition. Is it competition or is it infighting?
I would say that. If Jaylen Brown should be happy for anybody, it should be Tatum. And not like a vested veteran that's here and making the max and all that. Like, he's one of us, man.
And
our crew.
And
what would Tatum's possible issue be with what would Brown's issue be with Tatum?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, maybe it's motivation thing. It's a, okay, you're going to show me something. And instead of me getting up and cheering, I'm thinking about what I need to do next time.
Maybe that's how he admires it, though. Like, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this. He just dunked on his ass. Like, I'm so, I don't know how he is. I don't know how he is as a player, as a person, if he's excitable. I don't know.
If he's using it as motivation, that's not a bad thing.
Hard for me to sit here and rip Jaylen Brown, but we're getting to the point when stuff starts coming out like it has over the last several weeks. People are going to scrutinize every single little thing they do.
You can be motivated and without moping on the bench about it. Like, you can say.
You think he was moping?
Yeah, it feels that way with him. I don't know. Just in general.
I feel like a little bit of an ass drag there.
There's something there. There's something just off.
Motion.
Pin it, but it's definitely something that's a bit off.
Does the regular season bore him at this young stage of his career?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, because those guys rise to the occasion, right, in the big games, series. They're ready for the playoffs. I mean, they're going to win multiple.
I mean, and he's top of the list. He is top of the list when it comes to guys who thought the year would be easy. That everything that they were going to do was just going to come to them and be easy without earning anything. He is the top of the list. Those comments from him, I don't think he'll ever live those down. Yeah. Those are brutal. 617-779-0985. Mike's in Draken. Hi, Mike.
Hey, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Hi, Mike.
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
The only semi-positive take I could have on how this could help the Celtics, Kyrie playing in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Maybe with all the talks of Anthony Davis, maybe just wanting to see how he plays with him, or and that's even that stretch. But that's really the only thing I could. Other than that, he really does just look kind of like a fool, and the camaraderie of the team that doesn't help that at all.
Did Durant have to do all that with Golden State and work out with those guys and see how he plays with them before he selected to go there?
Right.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I just think that these guys think that this thing is the best thing ever. This three day weekend where you get to get out there and everybody kisses your ass. I get to kiss your ass. He kisses mine. We're gonna unveil our shoes. We're gonna get our little outfits. We're gonna go to each other's parties. Which club are we gonna lock down? You'll get a table in the back. I better get the back corner table. I want the one with the drapes, and I want the one with the bottle service, and I want the bottles poured in crafts. I don't want the actual bottles out there, and I want the good ice, the ice that's chipped. Yeah,
and just like you said, basketball especially, it's much larger than the Pro Bowl or anything like that.
Oh, this is their midseason party. You know?
It's a party. That's all it is.
It's a party.
The game doesn't mean anything.
No.
The game is useless.
It's cool to get out there in the unis, put on the All-Star unis, unveil the shoes.
In fact, the one All-Star game I still liked in all of professional sports, which was the Major League Baseball one, that's become useless too.
They all have.
There's not a good All-Star game left.
There really isn't. The only skills competition in hockey, it's about it.
And nobody goes, I don't think anyone goes out of their way to go watch
that. No.
That's the type of thing where you sort of see it on repeat on NHL Network.
I like the skills competition in hockey, but even I don't watch it.
It's not appointment viewing.
No, you go. You'll YouTube it.
Well, no, it's one of those. Yeah, exactly.
You go to. Oh, look.
You catch the highlights on the web, or you see it on rerun.
Yeah. What was Char's shot on that?
My favorite.
What, 107?
They used to chop up the NFL players, competitions, like the kicking one, the quarterback one. And they'd cut them down to half hour or hour shows, and they would rerun them all the time. And they were, it was fun to watch. And that was better than anything you'd get in the Pro Bowl. Much better than that.
3-point contest is going to be awesome this year, though.
That's better than the game.
You got both Curry brothers. You have Buddy Hield. You have Devin Booker.
Buddy.
You have Dirk Nowitzki. There's a lot of names in there.
The Saturday night festivities are better than the Sunday festivities. Always have been.
They should do it.
Even that dunk contest, which is sort of lame now, too.
They should do, ugliest white dude in the NBA contest.
Tatum's in the skills competition, right? The new little skills thing that they've been doing the last few years. Bounce passes and...
Joe's in Revere. Joe!
Hey, guys!
Hey, Joe! Did you go to that Patriots parade?
Yeah, I was at the parade.
Did you lose your kid?
Congratulations! You're the best, though.
I love you, Joe!
I listen to you. You're the best.
You got any baseball questions for me?
All over the country.
All right, Joe. Have a great one.
See, Joe.
Appreciate the call.
Hardy Where's Blair?
Hardy has headlines. Get you caught up on things. And we're
I
back
got a
with
shirt too.
That's right.
See a shirt?
It's a little hard to take Zoe seriously today. He's, sure.
he's wearing,
wearing
a
shirt.
Sup-Zo shirt from
Sup-Zo shirt
from Permanent Ink.
Yeah, it's nice. What do you think? Think we sell these?
Yeah. I don't know if you get a cut of those. Jake.
It's my likeness. I'd probably give me a cut.
Jake and Ken sent a bunch of shirts.
Anything else in there?
I think they know who their audience is in terms of people here at the sports hub.
Oh, 50-year-old men?
Wrestling motif there.
Right,
I think
it's like Steve Austin, but it's sort of in the and one guy
right.
like mold.
That's the
Is that the Brown Hornet?
That's the Macho Man.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Obviously, they know there's some of us with movie taste, so we got a
say anything.
Say anything inspired
in your
Stanley
eyes.
The Bob Kraft Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I never saw Reservoir Dogs.
That's a good one.
And then there's a Brady one in here. Oh, there's Jaylen Brown with his hair that looks like the Boston skyline.
All right.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
I think there's a Brady one in here, too.
All right.
Oh, you know what?
What?
We should give T-Bone for his choice.
Yeah.
Since
everybody takes Tom's shirts and gives them out to people.
First choice, T-Bone.
Beano asks for stickers, too.
They always send stickers. They get great stickers.
What's the stickers on
there?
Oh,
there's the Brady one.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They get the win, but does it complicate things?
Okay, so we have a big dumpster fire in L.A. We have a small dumpster fire brewing here in Boston, right? And it's because, look, you have the Anthony Davis situation. You have Jason Tatum saying, hey, I wouldn't mind being the face of a friend. Why are you have a chance to win a championship with this team, and you're talking about being the face of the New Orleans Pelicans. Like, that lets you know that things are brewing. And obviously with Kyrie being out and them getting this win against a quality Philly team lets you know that things are a little awry.
I mean, we've been accused of hyperbole many, many times, but the Celtics have their issues. Are they a dumpster fire? That felt a little strong, especially yesterday after they once again embarrassed the 76ers because they're a bunch of bozos there. But this, I don't think the Celtics are a dumpster fire, though. Feels like a bit much.
Small dumpster fire, you said.
Yeah, still.
Lakers are a big one. They're a small one.
A dumpster fire is a dumpster fire, man. You know,
they're no dumpster fire. They're not even ignited. They're not even a match.
Like, they have issues.
They want to get worth discussing. With three guys out.
Like, they're not a dumpster fire, though.
People.
Come on.
No.
It's not that bad.
No. Too well run. Too good of an organization. No way.
They have some drama. Sure. They've got some personalities that are clashing. Sure. But that doesn't make them a dumpster fire. They're still capable of winning plenty of
dumpster
games.
Dumpster fire, Never Nervous Purvis Ellison, back to those days, and Tuan in the early days. Those were dumpster fire teams.
I don't even think those teams were dumpster fire.
They were fun to watch,
once Antoine Walker was around.
Like Red Sox chicken and beer, that's a dumpster fire.
Yes, thank you.
Don't
dumpster insult fire. Real dumpster fires by calling this anything close to a dumpster fire.
Yes.
Right.
Or even approaching it. It's not.
I agree with that. 617-779-0985. Ryan is in Norton today. Hi, Ryan.
What's up, guys?
What's up,
hey. What's going on?
I'm hanging out, doing a radio show. What are you doing?
Yeah, just driving.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kill time.
Great.
I got two things. I was at Loon Mountain this weekend. I saw you guys.
I love it up there. Best après ski party. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was. Exactly. You guys had the booth set up there, and I was looking for you, though. Like,
no,
that would probably be.
We had some issues last time up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went up to the guy. I was talking to him, and from across the road, I was like, "Oh, it kind of looked like Hardy." And I went up to him and was like, "Oh, who's here? Is anyone here?" And he was like, "Well, I'm here." And I didn't know any way to say it any better. I was like, "Well, who are you?"
Do you know who it was? Do you remember the name?
I think it was Roku, right?
Roku, like, what is he, a pirate?
Yorku.
The Asian pirate from...
Was he playing a keyboard?
Yeah, from Summer Rental?
On a restaurant called The Barnacle?
No, I don't know.
Roku, saw him there, the pirate?
Yorku,
the pirate, the Asian pirate.
See, Cinco Scully's catches of the day.
You're going to like the fish, I pick.
Yeah,
what else you got, man? What else going on?
Yeah, we're off to a hell of a start here on this call.
It's done.
It's done. It's all done.
What, are you got a Kyrie trade?
Maybe Paulie will call in.
No. Kyrie trade.
Okay.
So you said there was no good that can come out of Kyrie going there, only bad.
To play.
No, to playing, not
to
going.
Play.
Playing
play.
In the game.
Oh, to be there. Well, I thought you meant to be
no,
there.
No, no, no. He can go. Go and do all the stuff you want to do. Just don't play in the game.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, if he's going to go there, if he wanted to do his team or his, like you guys said, his family of service, he'd want to, get in the good graces with AD instead of LeBron, you know?
Okay, and that's exactly the point of what I brought up, which was, do you think that
good call,
that Anthony Davis is going to be swayed in any way by Kyrie playing in the game?
No.
And I think that there's no shot that that impacts anything to do with this. Anything. That was a fun call, though. Tom is in Andover. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much for taking my call.
No problem.
I have a couple questions about the Celtics free agent, and I have one comment on how I think they should proceed. Do I understand that Al Horford, Aaron Baines, and Kyrie Irving are all potential free agents next year, and Marcus Morris are all potential, you know, free agents?
Okay, who were the first guys you named? Kyrie, yes.
Al
Morris,
Kyrie,
yes.
Baines.
Horford, not
Aaron
yet.
Baines.
Horford, not yet.
Well, he's not a free agent at the end of the year?
No.
Okay, what about Aaron Baines? And
he has an option that's like $30 million. He's not going to opt out of that.
Okay, and then Marcus Morris?
Morris is up, yes.
Okay, so I think my feeling is right now, I don't think this team is a championship team. I don't see how they get through Toronto, how they get through Milwaukee, and then potentially Golden State. It's a good team, but it's not a championship team. I think at this point, I would go Young. I say let's give Terry Rozier a shot at the point. Let's keep Tatum. I think Tatum and Brown will get better next year. And we get maybe we get Marcus Morris or one other player, and then we get a big guy from somewhere. And I think, you know, a couple of years, that's the team in the Eastern Conference.
In a couple of years, you'd have the space to sign another max contract player. So you'd still have Gordon Hayward. You'd still have your young guys. Assuming you bring back Rozier. So Rozier, Tatum, Brown, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford. Not a bad team. Not a bad team. Not a championship-level team, probably, but you also could continue to have those guys grow, get significant minutes, be the leaders of the team if you want them to be, that type of thing, and then a couple of years down the road, you're in a position to sign somebody else. It's not a horrible plan B. It's not what I prefer.
It's not the
plan
you want, but you have options.
Because in this league, you win with the superstars.
Right.
You win with Kyrie Irving. You win with Anthony Davis. You win with those guys. So that's, to me, always going to be the preferred route. Mm.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
After the game on Sunday, David and several of his teammates attended a sponsorship dinner at about 11:30. David reported to me, as he said, he reported to me at about 11:30 as some of his teammates were walking to meet their transportation location. He simply fell and injured his thumb. He met with medical staff yesterday morning early, and the doctors, they called me, and really it was pretty apparent that he needed to have something done right away. The internal specifics that will keep that way of location and things that they were doing, so I'm not trying to be vague in that regard, just wanted to be out in front of reporting the facts as they are.
That is the case against David Pastrnak is presented by Don Sweeney. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline to welcome in Bruins analyst Billy Jaffe from Nesson. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Beetle. What's up, fellas?
Hey, how excited are you to be modeled the bobblehead for Zdeno Chara bobblehead night? Is that amazing or what?
I feel awful for Chara that he has to.
You look good. don't sell yourself short.
Listen, I've got less hair than he does, so he's not going to be happy with that. His hair's looking good. Mine is just keep slip sliding in a way. But it was a very funny little tweet that you sent out.
Thanks,
there,
buddy. Did you get the bobbleheads for your kids?
You know, I didn't. I get to the game early that I go to a different area, and quite honestly, I forget about it. I'm sure I'll get crap for not getting one.
All right, Billy, let's talk about David Pastrnak and this incident that happened this week. What's your reaction to how the team has handled it? Because in what we just heard from Don Sweeney the other day, it sounds like they're pretty much laying it all out there. They're not covering for him at all, and for that reason, they've got to be disappointed that this happened.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you that they've got to be disappointed, especially. I mean, there's no good time for this to happen, right, Beetle? But especially right now, given the trade deadline, which is February 25th at 3 p.m. Eastern time, and given how this team has positioned themselves as a good team, but needing something more, needing a boost, to use Don Sweeney's term, to become a great team, to become better. And now this puts, you know, this puts a whole question mark as to what they can do, what they want to do. You know, they're saying 2 weeks reevaluation. So I have no idea how long a thumb, you know, like this takes to heal, but it seems like it's going to be more than that. I mean, that's just reevaluation. So let's add another 2 weeks on this. So now let's just say hypothetically you're talking 4 weeks.
It's his left thumb, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so it's okay. The top hand on his stick. Hmm. It's the hand that that you have on the stick at all times. I mean, you know, fellas, they laid it all out there. They talked about how Don Sweeney mentioned how apologetic David Pastrnak is or was, how he talked to his teammates about it. I think there's a lot of people that are disappointed, and I get it. I absolutely understand it.
I just think that relative to other sports, Billy, there's a certain level of acceptance of this crap in hockey that I don't think you get in other sports. Like, there is, you know, young hockey players.
You're talking about behind-the-scenes type
stuff.
Yeah,
no, I just think
incidents happen. And
like, oh, you know, boys will be boys, and the drinking culture in hockey leads to a guy falling down drunk. And again, that hasn't been said by anybody. That's an assumption and speculation of mine. But it feels like, oh, yeah, well, they're going to have to reevaluate, and hopefully he'll be back. Like, this is absurd. This is ridiculous that happened, given the money that he makes, given the contract that he's got,
how you depend on
given
him.
That he's a big part of their team, how like dependent they are on him, this is clownish behavior from this guy.
Well, I don't think that what meaning how they presented it publicly. I'm going to guess behind the scenes there were some words that frustration.
Oh, and
that were,
Billy,
you know,
Billy,
not
it seems like they
Billy,
did this to embarrass him.
Billy, I want to cut you off. I'm sorry, just because I'm not putting that on the team. I'm putting that sort of on the people that cover hockey. Not the team. Sort of the response to it.
Well, I don't know anybody who. Listen, first of all, I'm out of town right now, so I haven't seen the last day or so of anything, if anything's been printed. Second of all, I can't speak for anybody else, but, you know, the accidents do happen, but you question, okay, the situation. The Bruins did get out in front of it. I can't believe that they're tolerating it in the sense of, oh, you know, and I don't understand. Look, accidents do happen. I get it. But if there are any issues, and I'm not talking about Pastrnak, I'm talking players in general, that they do need to handle them. But you're saying that if you're talking about the media, other media, the way that they handle it, I can't speak to that. You know, how they cover it, I can't speak to that.
All right. How's it alter what they do?
Acceptable.
Well, how's it change what the mindset is going into the trade deadline?
Well, Don Sweeney says it doesn't. They're still looking for certain assets. It has to weigh into some situation. You know, I mean, if you can get yourself a more of a top six type guy and the price is reasonable, I think maybe you consider that more than perhaps you did before. I know that the Bruins want to do more than anything a real, what we call a real deal, a hockey deal. You know, think about it with somebody, go to somebody's team where they have players in their mid, later 20s. They're not UFAs to be this year, maybe 1 or 2 year term left on their deals. And the Bruins, I think, are looking to trade some of their potential assets for somebody else's assets, in particular the teams that aren't going to make the playoffs that they can get out of there. I mean, think of teams, Detroit, think of teams maybe in Arizona, maybe in Chicago even. I don't think Chicago will make the playoffs when it's all said and done. Maybe they can get, you know, I don't think they're going to go make a deal for a guy that's going to become a UFA. I don't think so, but I think they may look at it a little bit more given Pasta's injury.
So if they're making a deal for a real player, I have two questions. Number one, are they now put in a bad spot? Are they leveraged by other teams if they're trading for real talent because they know the Pastrnak situation is sort of forcing the Bruins into that deal? And number two, if they're making a real deal, what real player are they giving up off their own roster?
Well, first part is, Beetle, I think there's more leverage for the other teams if they're going for a rental, bud, instead of a real deal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A rental becomes, well, we know that Pastrnak's injured. Let's just simply, in a worst case scenario, instead of 2 to 4 weeks, it becomes 3 to 5, whatever, you know, again, hypothetically. So I think then other teams say, we know why you're making this deal, so we're going to try and hold out for more. With regard to a real hockey deal, what real assets are you giving up? Well, you're giving up and these are guys that are between NHL and American League. You're giving up, you know, are you talking about a Danton Heinen? Is our team's asking for a Ryan Donato? Are they looking at a Trent Frederick? Are they looking at one of your defensemen, for instance, on your team? Maybe, you know, there's guys, you know, this is all just speculation. I'm not saying any of these guys have been talked about, but you know that there's repetitive assets that Don Sweeney and the Bruins have, especially with left shots, especially up front. And I think that other teams might say, okay, well, we've had these guys. Obviously, maybe it's not working as well for us. Let's try maybe somebody else's guys, that type of deal.
What about a guy like Jake DeBrusk? You know, we sat there and we talked to him at Warrior. What was that, a couple weeks ago before the Super Bowl? And you think, boy, this is the part right now where he's starting to pop and starting to score. He goes through about, what, a month-long drought? Finally gets it going. Is he a guy that could really pop because of this? Or that's a guy that you need here?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I don't know if he's completely untouchable for given any kind of a deal. You know, again, we play that hypothetical game. It's what we do talking about the NHL trade deadline. But so he's the type of guy that helps complete your top six. He's not having a great year. You know it. I know. He knows it. We talked to him the other day on TNR. I mean, he's admitting it lately. It's gotten into his head. But it seemed to, at least for one day against Chicago, get out of his head, and he played that interior game, that game where he's touching pucks, tipping pucks, taking them to the net. He still could end up, I don't have his exact pace on me, he still could end up with 22 to 25 goals. Think about it. Now, he's not getting a ton of assists, but still, let's just say he has a great end of the year and he ends up with 25 goals, and this would be a bad year for him. You're like, that's okay, there's still something there. There still is a lot there, and I think that he's a guy that you definitely want in your power six, your top six.
All right, Billy. Appreciate the time, as always. Thanks for stopping on by.
See you, guys. Great talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Billy Jaffe from Nesson with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.